I'll be reading Acts 40, chapter 2, 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then in the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had needed. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, have favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
To see everyone this morning, thank you so much for being here, for blessing us with your presence today. And this morning I want us to consider some essential marks of a living church. But first, let me pass on two basic fundamental truths. Number one, we are committed to the church. We are not only committed to Christ, but also to the body of Christ. The church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. Number two, we are committed to the mission of the church. We believe that the church has a double identity. On the one hand, we are called out of the world to belong to God. And on the other, we are sent back into the world to witness and to serve. As Jesus himself said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So having considered our commitment to the church and to its mission, we are ready to ask a basic question. What is God's vision for His church? What are some of the distinguishing marks of a living church? And to answer those questions, I want us to go back to the beginning, to the church in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And in the text read from Acts chapter 2, Luke focuses on five marks. So what is God's vision for His church? Number one, a living church is a learning church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were eager to learn all they could. A church submissive to the teaching and the authority of the apostles. This means preachers expounding Scripture from the pulpit, parents teaching their children out of Scripture at home, members reading and reflecting on the Scripture every day in order to grow in Christian discipleship. Fidelity to the Word of God. The first mark of a living church. A living church then is a caring church. They were continually devoting themselves to fellowship. Fellowship is a well-known Greek word, koinonia, which expresses our common Christian life, what we share as believers. And fellowship bears witness to two complementary truths, both what we share in together and what we share out together. Number three, a living church is a worshiping church. They were continually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, we believe the breaking of bread here in this verse is a reference to the Lord's Supper. And from this text, we understand that their worship was both joyful and reverent. But they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then a living church is an evangelizing church. Acts 2 verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now the Lord added through the preaching of the apostles, the everyday witness of church members, and their common life of love. Those early Christians did not regard evangelism as an occasional activity. Their witness was as continuous as their worship. And then number five, a living church is a giving church. Acts 2, verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Now, generosity has always been a characteristic of the people of God. Our God is a generous God. His church must be generous too. Now, as we think about giving as a mark of the living church, consider three areas where God calls upon us to give. Number one, our time. After this verse that I'm going to read, Paul talks about making the most of our time. Well, how can we make the most of our time? Well, here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so that is certainly one of the ways that we can make the most of our time, that we speak the truth in love, and that we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And that Ephesians 4:15 is our theme verse for our spiritual enrichment this year, being one in a broken world. And we're going to focus on that. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. But I think that is certainly a way that we can make the good use of our time. But then we are to give of our talents. 1 Peter chapter 4, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use our talents, your gifts. That is one way that you give back to God, by serving Him with the gifts and the talents that He has blessed you with. And then our treasures. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 reminds us, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So certainly God calls upon us to give of our treasures, those things that He has blessed us with. But we give it in the way that Paul instructs us here, that we do it not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I've mentioned to you before that this word cheerful in the Greek is hilaros, from which we get the word hilarious. Were you an hilarious giver this morning? Thank you, God, that I was able to give to you and to the work of this congregation. That always hits me whenever I read, for God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. But that is one way that we show our appreciation to God. And we do it not grudgingly or just out of necessity or under compulsion. But God indeed loves a cheerful giver. As we are about to listen to our 2018 budget, which will be presented here in just a minute, I want to encourage every member of the Regency family to pray earnestly how you can, with your time and your talents and your treasures, help us to meet this budget, which is a budget that is involved in doing the work of God in our city and around the world. This is God's work. We have an opportunity to be a part, to be involved in the very work of God. And so I implore, I beg, I plead with all of us earnestly to prayerfully get behind this and do everything within your power to help us fulfill this, to see that we are out there meeting the needs of people, that we are serving people, that we are spreading the good news of the gospel of Christ. And as Peter said, that in every way, we are seeking to bring glory to God. That's what it all boils down to, that everything we do, we are doing it so that it will bring glory to God. May God help us, and I know that He will. As we strive to be that learning church and that caring church and that worshiping church and that evangelizing church and that giving church. I think some distinguishing marks of the living church that Luke shares with us there in Acts chapter 2. We're going to sing our invitation song, and there may be someone today who's ready to commit themselves to God. God has given us so much, and He's asked us to respond in faith and obedience. And that obedience includes being baptized into Christ so that you can have your sins forgiven, become a member of the family of God. If anyone needs to take that step today, we're here to help you. If you desire the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if we can help you in any way today, would you let us know as together we stand and sing our song?
Over all the earth you